You're once again welcome onto this program of ours, Islam and Realities of Life. Previously, I touched on some important realities bordering on Tawheed, most especially talking about the rights of Allah, that really Allah the Almighty has some rights, or has rights that have to be observed, maintained, and practiced. And the hadith that talks about those rights is the hadith of Mu'adh, out of many a hadith that says the rights of Allah is that he should be worshipped without associating any partner with him, Azza wa Jal. And the rights of people on Allah is that Allah will not punish, will not take into the hellfire, he that does not practice shirk against him. Even though there is no anything that anybody can claim as his right on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah, out of his bounties, assigns to himself that yes, his creators have right on him. You see, but today's topic, we are going to go back a little on the concept of rububiyyah still, and to throw some questions and give answer on those questions to be asked. Question number one: if we say rububiyyah means ifradullahi bil khalqi wal mulki wa tadbir, that Allah is unified, Allah is one and only concerning his creation, his power and control of the creation. Now somebody may ask, if really Allah is only one and only in creating, and of course he is, Azza wa Jal, then what do you say concerning many of the Quranic verses, such as this ayah where Allah says, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ, blessed is Allah, the best of creators. Look at it, the best of creators. If I tell you the best of readers, that means there are other readers, but it's only the best of them. The best of eaters suggests there are other eaters, but this one is the best out of them. So the Quran says, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. And if Allah is the only one that creates, and in rububiyyah, you don't assign creation to anybody but Allah, what do you say concerning this ayah? This is an important question, treating topic of this nature. Similarly, the Prophet said, أَحْيُمَا خَلَقْتُمْ, those who create things with life will be punished on the day of Qiyamah. It will be said to them, أَحْيُوا مَا خَلَقْتُمْ, give life to what you have created. Look at it, you have created. And we are saying Allah is the only creator, and now they have been told, you have created. How do we answer questions like these in the light of the importance of this discussion? Similarly, in Arabic language, it is okay to say, إِنَّ النَّجَّارَ خَلَقَ الْكُرْسِيَّ, النَّجَّارُ خَلَقَ الْكُرْسِيَّ, the carpenter created the chair. Why created? Why do you use the very word created? Whereas we know Allah is the creator. So issues like this should be looked at squarely, positively, and should be answered. The ulama of Tawheed, rahmatullahi alayhim, have said, Al-Khalq, when you say Al-Khalq, creation, it means Al-Ijadu min al-Adam. Al-Ijadu min al-Adami. To bring something from being nothing into being something. That is creation. Something used to be non-existent, and now it is existent. It is in existence. That is creation. To bring something without looking at example elsewhere, that is creation. That's why Allah is Fatir. Fatir, originator of something. So when you say Ahayuma Khalaqtum, it is just creation, just a meaning, a symbolical expression. Otherwise, the real creation that is being discussed is the ability to bring something that used not to be there. And nobody has this very power but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take for example, we say the carpenter created what? The chair. That very chair that was created, what is the origin of the chair? It's a tree. Or you can say wood. Who first and foremost created the wood? Who brought the rain from the sky to water that plant? What about the photosynthesis that the tree used in producing its chlorophyll? So you can see it is Allah solely. So when the Quran says Ahsan al-Khaliqin, the creation being referred to is to originate something from nothing. The Europeans, for example, created or manufactured the aeroplane after observing the bird. The bird created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they observed it critically, positively, and they brought what they have brought. You can see. So you cannot say the creator there is the European. No. That is number one. That is the meaning of creation we are referring to. And number two, the creation of Allah has a purpose. And the purpose is for him to be served exclusively. What man has created may not be having any purpose. And number three, what Allah has created, he created by merely saying, be, and it was. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. With Allah, if Allah wants something to come into existence, want to be, he merely says, be, and it is. So what somebody creates is not like this. So that is very important concerning al-khalq. Then al-mulk, because we say rububiyyah has three components: al-khalq, al-mulk, at-tadbir. What about al-mulk? If we say only Allah has the mulk, has the power. Yeah, only Allah has mulk. Then somebody may ask you this very question. In that case, we hear Quran saying, for example, in Surah Yusuf, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونُ بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصُ لِنَفْسِي. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِ بِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ. And Al-Maliku has said, who is Malik here? وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ. That Maliku is not Allah here, because it is Allah saying وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ. So really, if Allah is the only Malik, then why are we saying وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ? You may ask this question. Just as we have answered, if Allah is the only creator, then why are you saying فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ? There are other creators, and we have explained. We explained to you the meaning of Allah is the only creator. Now, if Allah is the only one having mulk, why is the Quran saying وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِتُونِ بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصُ لِنَفْسِي? In that case, the answer the ulama have given is that, you see, the mulk of Allah has no beginning, but the mulk of people has beginning. The power of Allah has no end, but the power of any president, any governor, any chief, any whoever has an end. That is number two. Number three, the power of Allah, you know, is encompassing, is all embracing. But the power of the mortals is not encompassing. By encompassing, I mean I possess my handset. I don't possess your handset. I own my cap. You don't own my cap. I own my gown. You don't own my gown. That? But you cannot tell me Allah is the owner of Nigeria, but not the owner of America. Can you say that? You can't say that. You can't tell me Allah is the king of Kano or the ruler of Kano, but it's not the ruler of Daura or Katsina or wherever. So you can see Allah's power, His mulk, is all encompassing. That's the difference. And number three, people are only given power as delegates of Allah. When you are choosing the governor, an emir, or any power given to you, you are given so as to be tried. Okay? لِيَبُلُوكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah gives you all this so as to try you. Alright? So that answer is given. That the mulk of other mortals are just like this, or just like this. It has a beginning. It has an end. It's not encompassing. And it is under control. And the power of Allah has no, you cannot control it. Okay? Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Allah is never questioned on whatever He does. The servants are those to be questioned. If He tells you His own power, like we have said, is limitless and has these majestic characteristics. Number three, At-Tadbir. Yes, Allah is Al-Mudabbir. He controls life. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Listen, belongs to Allah the power and command. This is very important. In case somebody throws a question like this, you have to answer him in this very spirit, trying to analyze and explain how important these things are. Now, going to the issue of Allah is the only object of worship. We treated this previously as an important reality, that nobody should be assigned to Allah when worshiping Him. That is why the kalimatu shahada is the most important word. You say la ilaha illallah. Allah says fa'abudillaha mukhlisan lahu ad-din. Allah says fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah. Okay? Wa laqad uhi ilayka wa ila alladhina min qablika la in ashrakta la yahbatanna amaluka wa la takunanna min al-khasirin. Bal la fa'abudukum min ash-shakirin. Many of the Quranic verses emphasizing on the importance, on the necessity of worshiping Allah exclusively. Now, these are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to His names, the names of Allah also signify His rights. For example, Allah is called Allahu. It is the right of Allah to be called Allah. But people can call Him a different name. In Hausa, we say Ubangiji. Some call Him Oludumare. Some call Him Unkulukulu. Some call Him, for example, in the language of Ishan people in Edo State, Osenebla. There are many names. The Englishman says God. The Frenchman says Dieu. Honor to Dieu. But you see, the most beautiful of all these names is Allah. Allah, Allah. That is why the English translation of God, or the translation of Allah, is God. But the very word God, G-O-D, is insufficient. It's deficient. Deficiently insufficient, insufficiently deficient. Because it does not give you the true message. When you say Allah, in English language you say God. Singular. God. Plural. Can you say Allah? Singular, Allah's, plural? No. So the complete right is to call Him Allah. But out of necessity, you cannot do otherwise. You can call Him God. But you should bear in mind that it is realistically realistic to understand the best is to say Allah. All right? Similarly, out of God, you can make feminine gender. There is God, male. There is goddess, female. Isn't it? God, male. There is goddess, female. Like hygiene. According to the Greek mythology, Hygieia was the goddess of health. And because they have conquered us through their culture, you have the name of hygiene from Hygieia. Like June, there's a goddess, June, the 6 month, J-U-N-E, June, is the name of a goddess. They call her the wife, the sister, the co-equal of the greatest God. Subhanallah. Is a goddess like May, May, and the rest. All right? So the very word God is the English translation of what you have, Allah. But God is, like I've said, deficient, insufficient, handicapped, incapacitated. So it's part of the rights of Allah to use the expression Allah. Allah is taken from يعني الألوهية هو المألوه الذي يعبد بحق. Nobody has the right to be called Allah. The very name Ar-Rahman, it is his name. Allah says ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها. To Allah belong beautiful names. So ask him, beg him, beseech him by these beautiful names and epithets. فادعوه بها. Allah Ar-Rahman, the what? The manifest, the magnificent, or the beneficent, or the most gracious. Ar-Rahim, also the most merciful. Nobody has the right to be called Ar-Rahman. If you hear any name Ar-Rahman in somebody's name, it must be a combination of Al-Idafa. There has to be a possessive coinage. Abdu bin Ar-Rahman. Abdurrahman, the servant of the most gracious, because it is Allah's right to be called Ar-Rahman exclusively. You can't hear anybody answering Ar-Rahim. If you hear Ar-Rahim, it's a combination of this coinage in possessive case, Abdurrahim, like this. So also Al-Aziz, Abdul-Aziz. Al-Karim, Abdul-Karim. Al-Jalil, Abdul-Jalil, and on. And on and on. Therefore, it's part of Allah's right. In the hadith of Mu'adh, we have quoted in Sahih Muslim, Allah's right is you will be worshipped without setting up any rival against him. It's part of the right to know all this. Like I've said, I keep on saying, we keep on talking about human right, many conferences of human right. But why don't we convene a meeting on Allah's right? If any ruler understand people are going to stage a coup against him, what happens? The coup plotters, when they are caught, they face the consequences, they face the music. They are going to be killed through firing squad because they are committing treasonable felony, punishable by death against the nation. But how many treason have we been doing against Allah? And nobody even cares. Somebody can claim to be God today in Nigeria, wherever I am, you tell me it is his personal right. Because religion belongs to God. Nation belongs to people. Are we not cheating ourselves? Are we not trying to chase the shadow, building castle in the air? Of course, we're doing this. If we are so worried about our rights, then hey, this man, don't come. Don't encroach. But how many of us have we been encroaching into Allah's right and nobody even cares? So that hadith is very important. The right of Allah is he should be worshipped without setting up a rival against him. Today, somebody can claim to be a parapsychologist, a soothsayer, a diviner. He claims to know the unseen. People go to them. We call them bokai or diviners or whatever. Hey, please, I have come. I want you to forecast the future for me. He's encroaching into the right of Allah. The reality is that don't go there. If you go, you become a kafir. How many women go to the bokai, the diviners? the fortune tellers, the parapsychologists, the soothsayers, the marabouts. وما أدراك ما مرابو لا إله إلا الله. Lying, chopping the money, chop system. أعوذ بالله. So in Islam, it is the right of Allah. Don't ask anybody but Allah. The hadith of Muslim of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami that he goes to the diviner and asks him, the person that has gone ceases to become a Muslim, is no longer a Muslim. Is no longer a Muslim. Therefore, these are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his names, in his rububiyyah, in his uluhiyyah, in his names and attributes. Since we have mentioned attributes, I want to say something very important concerning the ways that the scholars have laid down. If you want to critically analyze the conceptualization of Allah's names and attributes, they are saying all of Allah's names are beautiful, and that is true. Asma'ullahi kulluha jamila wa husna, because he said it, walillahi asma'ul husna. So we have to believe that all of Allah's names are beautiful. It is haram to associate any bad name to Allah. That is why Allah is the creator of good and evil. But don't call him evil doer. No. Because وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. Take the example of this ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah Al-Nisa. Let me make it clear. Allah says, وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. Then the next ayah says, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Next page. Now, when you look at this ayah, two verses, analytically, critically, you may be confused. Because it first says, if good things happen to them, they say it is from Allah. If bad things happen, they say, it is from Muhammad. They are being what? Superstitious. But Allah said, no. If good things happen to you, it is from Allah. Bad thing from yourself. How do you reconcile? The previous ayah says, both good and bad from Allah. But here it says, no, good from Allah, bad from yourself. How do you harmonize? How do you reconcile? If at all, there is contradiction. No contradiction at all. Because if Quran Al-Kareem had been from somebody, they would have found so many discrepancies and contradictions. The Quran says, Al-Kareem, أَفَلَا يَتَدَّبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Why can't people take the Quran into critical analysis? If it had come from someone else, they would have found many discrepancies and contradictions there. Now, in trying to analyze the right of Allah in the light of his names and epithet, good things and bad things are from Allah. Yes, by the virtue of creation. That's the meaning there. By the virtue of creation, they are both from Allah. Who created snake? Who created cobra? Who created chickens? Yes, you'll tell me yes. God created cobra and very poisonous. It's evil. God created hen and chicken. Both of these, which one do you keep in your house? Cobra or chicken? Of course, chicken. All right. That's the meaning there. By creation, قُلْ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Because then, whom do you say created them? Allah. But the same cobra, Allah has given you common sense. If you know this is the house of cobra, don't go there. But they say, no, Allah is there, he will protect you. You go, and they bite you, that is from in nafsi. That's the meaning of the ayah. But if Allah saves you, they pursue you and you run helter-skelter, you escape them, don't say, ah, because of my power to run. No, it is from Allah. That is the simple example, the simple localization of the meaning of these two verses. Accidents, for example. Somebody is over-speeding. His car has speedometer reading 240. And he is over-speeding at the rate of 230. And he knocks somebody, he dies. And he says from Allah. He says, yes, Allah created this thing which is very nasty and very painful. He created good things by creating from Allah. But by the virtue of do's and don'ts is from you. That is why people should understand what the ulama call al-qada'ul kawni and al-qada'ul shari'i. There is qada' kawni. There is qada' shari'i. So ma asabaka min hasanatin fa min Allah wa ma asabaka min sayi'atin fa min nafsik. That is qada'un shari'i. Qada'un what? Shari'i. But قُلْ كُلُّ مِنْ إِنْدِ اللَّهِ yes, قَضَاءٌ كَوْنِي. By the virtue of predestination, things are from Allah, both good and bad. But you don't call Allah evildoer. That is why number two, the ulama, after saying his names are beautiful, they also say every name represents Allah's attribute, but not vice versa. Not every attribute standing for Allah's name. How? Allah is Ar-Rahman, so Ar-Rahman is his name. So there is attribute of Rahmah there. Allah is Al-Maliku, the king. There is attribute of Al-Mulk there. Alright? Allah is Al-Kareem, the bounteous. There is attribute of bounty there, like this. Like. So every name contains Allah's attribute, but not attribute should be Allah's name. For example, Allah says, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. It's from makr. What is makr? Makr is mischievous plan. They conceive, they concoct mischievous plan and Allah counterplans. But he uses the very word وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. So do you call Allah Al-Makir? Do you? You don't. You can't say Allah is Al-Makir and I have a son, his name is Abdul Makiri. A'udhu Billah. That is the meaning of what they are saying. Every name entails Allah's attribute, but not attribute entails Allah's what? Name. Number three, they are saying the chapters talking about Allah's attribute are by far more than the chapters talking about Allah's names. All right? وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ. Look at it. وَجَاءَ. So Allah has explained that he has the attribute of coming. وَجَاءَ, جَاءَ, جَاءَ. You don't call Allah Al-Ja'i. You don't say. Allah is the Kama. Something like that. So these things have to be known. It's part of the realities of a truly believing Muslim, a practically practicing believer, because with these things, you will be able to appreciate the beauty of your existence because you've been created for a purpose, and the purpose we have been saying it. This marks the end of today's, inshallah, episode. Until we meet, inshallah, subsequent recording, subsequent episode, on behalf of those that have made the program a reality, the producers and our cameramen, I, the presenter, saying, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka.